With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Welcome back to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. I'm Bobby Sylvester, and he's Mike Tagliere. You can find us on Twitter at BobbyFantasyPro and at Mike Tagliere NFL. How's it going, Mike?
Bobby, did you hear? I think the Bears finally figured it out. Like, I think that we locked down the player that was needed to make a championship run. Did you hear about it?
I'm not sure who you're talking about, but I'm ready to laugh.
We locked up Benny Cunningham on a one-year deal. So
What a great move.
Yes,
he was like the sixth-string running back on the Rams.
I don't think Benny Cunningham is that bad, but it's just all these little moves and stuff like that on one-year deals. I don't know where the Bears are going, but I thought it was fun.
So today, Mike, we've got some news items, and then we'll close it out with an 18-pick rookie dynasty mock draft, which I've just been so excited for all week. We don't have March Madness going on right now, so this has been filling my mind. I'm excited. And joining us today as a guest is Ryan McDowell of DynastyLeagueFootball.com. If you want to follow him on Twitter, he can be found at RyanMC23. Hey, Ryan.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
It's going great, Ryan. We really appreciate you coming on the show, and I love what your website does. There's just not enough Dynasty information out there. Every single fantasy football league should be a Dynasty league, in my opinion.
Oh, I agree. Obviously, I'm probably a little biased, but we definitely love the Dynasty over there at DLF.
Yeah, no, Ryan, I appreciate you coming on, joining us. Obviously, you're one of the names in the industry we wanted to talk to about some rookies. And this whole idea of the mock draft on air is going to be fascinating, because we're going to do 18 picks deep. We're each going to do 6 picks. It's going to be good, because like, I was taking a look, and if you guys haven't seen on Dynasty League Football's website, their ADP for all the rookies, there's some values to be had. And I'm really curious to see if all of us are on the same page, or if I'm totally off on different players from you guys. But I know before getting into that, Bobby, we're going to talk about some news and some of the things that we learned actually while we've been on a break. You know, the last show, Bobby and I actually did a mock draft on our Draft Wizard, which is just a fantastic tool. We were able to do it right live. But one of the things that's happened since then, Bobby, I wanted to get your take on Eddie Lacy signing with the Seahawks. How do you feel about that?
The Seahawks have all these running backs. And, you know, some of them are pretty talented, but Eddie Lacy takes the cake. I know he's got some weight issues. They've got it built into his contract, but I think it's a great fit because he's going somewhere where he can win, and that's going to be a motivation to keep the weight down. I think Pete Carroll's going to drive him, motivate him, and I think Eddie Lacy can be the best version of himself, and that's a really good fantasy running back, right?
It is. Now, Ryan, what does this do for his dynasty stock? Because I actually own Eddie Lacy in a couple leagues, and some people are telling me that this did nothing for his stock. Are you telling me that going to a team like the Seahawks that want to run the ball a lot, you know, does this do nothing for his value?
I think it has to help his stock, mainly because his stock was so low already after the injuries and after just the struggles and the weight issues in Green Bay. He was being dealt for late second or early third round rookie picks in many dynasty leagues. So his value is way down there. I think this move says more about Thomas Rawls and how the Seahawks view him, even than it does for Lacy or Procy. So I definitely think it helps Lacy's dynasty value. I think he can be the starter there. And now Rawls is the one with fading dynasty value.
Yeah, I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop here. I think that something's got to happen with Thomas Rawls. He's a very similar running back to Eddie Lacy. They can handle work in the receiving game, but that's not what they're known for. They're power backs that can get it on the goal line. We thought that Thomas Rawls was going to be the first second down back with CJ Procise playing third downs, mixing in a little bit on first and second down. But now this cloudies the picture. I know that they had Jamal Charles in for a visit. That's Bobby's boy.
That's right, baby.
But even staying with Seattle and keeping them in the news, Marshawn Lynch might come out of retirement to play for the Raiders. Now, Ryan, am I crazy to think that the Raiders are almost going outside of the current free agents, Adrian Peterson and Jamal Charles, going to someone else that hasn't played in a year and a half? And the last time Marshawn Lynch played football in 2015, he didn't look like the Marshawn Lynch that we came to love. So is this a crazy move by the Raiders talking about bringing Marshawn Lynch out of retirement?
It's kind of a weird story. And I guess over, you know, in the end, I don't really think it's going to happen. The last few photos I've seen of Lynch, he looked like he's gained some weight as well. sticking
all the
with
Skittles.
That. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So I would be surprised if this actually plays out. There's a lot of hoops to jump through as far as, will Seattle release him? Are they going to try to trade him? It's just too much. I don't think it happens. That being said, Lynch is probably on dynasty waiver wires right now. So if your waiver wire is open, I know they are in some leagues, he's worth grabbing just to see what happens. But I don't have high expectations here.
I just grabbed him at the end of my MFL 10 draft, and I'm not sure how I feel about it. I mean, there's probably like an 80% chance he doesn't play. But Tags, I'm really curious where you think his ADP would be if he does indeed sign with the Raiders.
I'm going to go ahead and say that because it's just a love fest with Marshawn Lynch. Everybody wants to love the guy, and I don't blame them. He's so fun. But I would say that Lynch would creep in at the end of the RB2 conversation. I don't think the hype gets out of control where he goes up into, you know, the second or third round. I think that his area that he'd be drafted would be the fourth or fifth round, because I mean, even if he does sign there, I can't see him handling more than maybe 50% of the work. You have to figure Jalen Richard earned a bigger role going forward. DeAndre Washington was drafted, what was it, the third or fourth round last year. So they've definitely spent equity on the position, and they've moved on Latavius Murray. They were obviously smart in doing so. I think he was an average running back there. But again, I don't think the love should get out of control. I think he would be a back end RB2 in fantasy.
I'll tell you what, I'd be taking him a lot earlier than that, just because that Raiders offensive line is so good. Whoever the Raiders end up signing to be their running back, I'm going to be all over. I mean, you look at Thomas Rawls, and he's going as an RB2 right now, and I can't understand that for the life of me. And I think Marshawn Lynch is a better running back. Even if he does come out of retirement, I'm sure he'll find a way to get in shape. He's a really competitive guy. And I think behind that offensive line, he'd be pretty good. I'd be drafting him.
I have no issue taking him behind that offensive line. But again, I still think it's too much of a timeshare. I couldn't take him in front of guys like Spencer Ware. I couldn't take him in front of guys like CJ Anderson.
Good point.
Those are the names that you're looking at the strong RB2 range. So for me, Lynch falls into that mid to back end RB2. Now, Ryan, I know you're a big dynasty guy, but I mean, I'm sure you play in a few redraft leagues here and there. Do you think that Marshawn Lynch should be considered an upper tier RB2? Or do you think that I'm more right in my assessment of mid to lower end?
No, I think you're spot on, basically because some of what you said earlier, even the last time we saw Lynch play, he wasn't the Lynch of, you know, the couple of years prior to that, that Super Bowl run where he just carried that team. And now he's a year or more removed from his last football game. I think that's really the upside at that point.
Yeah. Now, one of the players, you guys, now I'll have both of you guys answer. I'm pretty sure that we can come to a consensus here. Latavius Murray signed with the Vikings. We would all take Marshawn Lynch before Latavius Murray, correct?
Oh, that is a horrible situation.
Am I right, though, that we would all agree on that?
Yes.
Yeah, not even close for me.
Okay, now how about this one? Rex Burkhead, what do you guys think of this signing? For me, I mean, I'm just going to chime in here because I don't think anybody realistically knows what the Patriots are going to do at the running back position. I don't know if they're going to look to draft a running back, if they're going to look to replace LeGarrette Blount. Heck, they could bring LeGarrette Blount back because he hasn't signed with any NFL team. So I think the hype has gotten a little out of control on Rex Burkhead. Ryan, what's your take on him? Did this move do a whole lot to his dynasty value, or is Rex Burkhead, is he just like a high upside stash right now?
I think that's basically what he is. I haven't seen we haven't seen any new ADP since this signing, and as far as the few trades I've seen, it's not painting him as a fantasy starter in dynasty leagues. So I like the move. I like grabbing him because he's still pretty cheap in dynasty leagues. But yeah, who knows what to expect with New England. It's pretty clear they're going to bring in another running back, I think, whether it's Agreed. Blunt or another big-bodied guy. So I like the idea of Burkhead. I love him in MFL 10s, those best ball leagues. He's mm-hmm. great there. But as far as dynasty, I'm not too excited about the move overall.
How about you, Bobby?
I'm a believer in Rex Burkhead. And anytime Bill Belichick does something, it makes you wonder, like, is Rex Burkhead maybe the best running back in the world? But, you know, I'd say that the Patriots running backs just aren't going to be high upside. They're just going to split carries. Burkhead could very well be like seventh on the pecking order for touches on that Patriots offense. So I'm not going to get crazy with the hype, but I'm intrigued. I'm going to be watching him, and that's not going to be enough for me to get him on my teams because someone is going to be hyped. But I like Rex Burkhead. I think it's a good move for the Pats.
Yeah, that's the weird thing with me with Bill Belichick. I respect him as a coach. I think he's the best coach in NFL history. But I don't know if it's his talent evaluation, but I think it's more of his coaching than anything. And the fact that he can get the most out of players, sell yeah. them, know when to sell them. And that's why for me with Rex Burkhead, I'm not going out of control. It's very possible that he could be Brandon Bolden 2.0. We don't know that. So I'm not going to go out of control here with that whole Rex Burkhead. But Bobby, that wraps up what I wanted to cover in the news. You guys, anything else you wanted to talk about in the news?
Nothing too interesting to me, no.
Yeah, no, that's why I say we get into this draft. We talk some rookies. That's what we got Ryan on here for. And we've nominated Bobby as the one with the first pick in this, right?
Yes, that's right. So I'll explain it to the listeners at home before I do my first pick. And I know Tags is itching to hear who I'm going to pick. He was asking me about it today. I'm like, I'm not going to tell you. I have to get your like organic reaction. So we're going to do 18 picks. So that's 6 players for each of us. And we're not exactly trying to fill a full lineup, so don't feel pressure to take a tight end or a quarterback. You know, it doesn't matter. Just grab the best player available for fantasy football dynasty leagues, just so we can give the listeners an idea of who we think the best players are. We're not going to go snake order, just so we can split up the talking time. We're going to go with a straight draft, and we'll pretend like I was the worst team in the league. Keyword pretend. So I get the first overall pick. And Tags, who do you think I'm going to take?
I want to say that you were all over Joe Mixon. So I want to see if you put your money where your mouth is.
You know, I do think that Joe Mixon is the best. Everyone who listens to the show knows I love myself some Joe Mixon as a football player. I've said he's the top impact skill position player in the draft. But I went back and watched the film on Fournette's 2015 season. He was twice the football player then than he was in 2016. We know just how good Fournette was last year playing with an injury. Look, I'm sold. I changed my mind. If he's healthy, I'm sold. He could be the number one overall pick in fantasy drafts in the coming years. So I've got to pull the trigger on Leonard Fournette.
Oh, God. I'll talk about that in a second, but I'm going to let Ryan pick first. Ryan, you have the second pick.
I think the combine that we saw a couple weeks ago, really changed the value of some of these players, Fournette included. A couple weeks ago before the combine, the favorite to go 101 in rookie dynasty drafts was Dalvin Cook, the running back from Florida State. He kind of had a subpar combine, moved Fournette up, and it also moved up another guy who actually didn't even participate. It's Corey Davis, and that's who I'm going to take. I like to build my teams around wide receivers as much as I can. I lean more towards the receiver position than running backs. Cook's got a few issues that are starting to be red flags, both on the field and off the field. And I think Corey Davis is just a pure prospect. So I'd love to get him at 1.02.
Oh, God. You guys are awful. So first off, I volunteered for the third pick. I just want to throw this out there. I volunteered for it thinking that I could get my favorite running back or favorite wide receiver, but yet neither of them are on the board right now. First off, Bobby, I'm really upset because I was planning on you going Mixon, which it wouldn't have been a bad pick at all, but going Fournette, I don't blame you. He's my favorite running back. Like, that guy is a truck when he's running. You do not want to get in that guy's way. Corey Davis, that's a fantastic pick. I
agree.
You know, both those picks are fantastic. It's honestly, it's probably in the order that I actually would have picked them. And then this is where it gets a little dicey for me. I do want to get a workhorse running back because, you know, for me, these are guys that are going to be their first round guys that, you know, they're going to be starting for an NFL team. And for me, Dalvin Cook doesn't do it for me. It was not even before the combine. I was never a huge Dalvin Cook guy. I'm still looking at him. I think he can be a three down guy. I think that's what's appealing about him. I don't think he offers anything special to me. There's nothing like Fournette. I watch their specialty. I watch Mixon, and Mixon is fantastic. There is off field concerns, 100%. I didn't even want to like the guy, but I do love watching him play football. So for me, I'm going to take Joe Mixon at number three.
Oh, that was mean. You did that just to get back at me.
I may have. If Fournette was there, I would have taken Fournette, obviously. But yeah. Mixon's a good fallback option.
You know, I don't want to be hyperbolic, but he looks like Le'Veon Bell in college to me. He is a really special talent.
You know what's funny is I haven't even released it yet. Like I'm working on all my scouting profiles for all the rookies, and they're going up on the site. It's in the middle of the wide receivers right now, but I've already started on the running back research, and I've already written up Joe Mixon. My NFL comparison with him is a mix between Le'Veon Bell and Matt Forte. I don't think he's as shifty as Le'Veon Bell. I don't think he has that juke to his game that Bell has, but I do he's close, and he's close to as good as receiver as Matt Forte is, but you combine them and that's a massive running back. So it's a PR nightmare, but at the same time, someone who drafts him is getting a phenomenal talent.
So I took Leonard Fournette, running back at LSU, with the first overall pick, and he's actually number two in ADP for DynastyLeagueFootball.com at 25 overall. Dalvin Cook's number 20. He's still on the board, but I'm with you. I'm not a believer in him. I actually like Christian McCaffrey better than Joe Mixon. I had him as my number two player on the board. And the reason why, I mean, if I was building my own NFL team, I'd take Joe Mixon here, of course. But in fantasy, you have to rely on what NFL teams are going to do. And I'm certain McCaffrey's going to get 200-plus touches somewhere this season. I can't say that about Mixon. I think McCaffrey is a big electric player. I can't pass on him here.
Solid pick. I have no issue taking McCaffrey over Cook.
All right, Ryan, who are you going with at number five?
You know, just the way this mock is going, and I'm so excited for actual rookie drafts here in a couple months, because we had a top tier of four before the combine. Mixon moved up. McCaffrey moved up. Williams struggled a little bit, and as did Dalvin Cook. So if you're sitting with a middle of the first round pick like we're talking about now, your mouth just has to be watering that you could maybe be getting a guy like Dalvin Cook or Mike Williams from Clemson, who were expected to be maybe the top pick overall in the rookie draft. So sitting in the middle of the round, you've got to love it. Here, it's a tough choice for me between those two guys, but I'm gonna go with Dalvin Cook at the 105.
It's not a bad pick. And I've been wrong in my assessments before. So it's not to say Dalvin Cook can't be a really good running back. I think if he's drafted in the first round, he's going to be used. And therefore, running backs with volume, they have value. So for me, the Dalvin Cook's it's a good pick. And
he's number five on my board, too.
Yeah, I would have considered him at this pick. I don't know if I would have pulled the trigger because for me, I think you mentioned it, Mike Williams of Clemson. He's a guy that you could compare to Corey Davis. Of course, they're totally different wide receivers. Corey Davis is that possession Brandon Marshall type receiver that is a monster after the catch. Mike Williams is that go up and get it type of wide receiver. He's got the AJ Green, Martavis Bryant type build to him. And I think that the sky is the limit with Mike Williams. Corey Davis might produce more from the get-go, but Mike Williams does have a, you know, wide receiver one potential. So for me, landing Mike Williams here to go with Joe Mixon, I'm more than happy with my first two picks.
I think Mike Williams is a really nice pick. I mean, I'm a little worried. I'm probably lower on most people than on Mike Williams because I think maybe he's a product of being an offense with Deshaun Watson and Wayne Gallman. But, you know, at this point in the draft, if he's there, you've got to take him. His ADP is number 36 on Dynasty League Football, and number 5 is all the way down at 60. He's a clear-cut top 6 pick, and I'm disappointed you took him because now I've got to go way down. It's a big drop-off after number 6, in my opinion. I'm going to take John Ross. I don't think he has the agility of Deshaun Jackson. He's got the speed, and I think Ross is a better route runner, seems to have better hands to me. He has a good head on his shoulders. So I'm a believer he's going to be at least what Deshaun Jackson has been for fantasy football over the years. And that's a really good wide receiver, right?
It's a really solid wide receiver. Now, Ryan, I'm not sure where you're at on Deshaun Jackson over the years. I feel like he's been a little underappreciated. He's seemingly always a top 30 wide receiver. The issue with him is that he's been a little inconsistent, right? And we're going to be looking for more consistency out of John Ross if we're taking him, you know, with a high number one pick, right?
I think so. I'm concerned about Ross's injury history. I love his speed, as we all do. That was amazing what he showed off at the combine. But I'm worried there's a bit of a one-year wonder factor with him. But at the 1.08 pick, I get one of my guys, Juju Smith-Schuster. He struggled a little bit in his junior year. They went through a quarterback change. It ended up as a great move for USC, but the beginning of the season was rough for that entire team and the entire offense. But Juju, his first couple years was just sensational, really young breakout age. He's still 20 years old, and he'll be 20 for a good portion of his rookie season, I believe. So, again, middle of the first, pretty easy pick for me.
Yeah, he won't turn 21 until November, if I'm not mistaken. And I love that pick. It's who I would have been taking at my – I think he's got the upside there. I just – that one actually just went up on the site, I think at the end of last week. So Juju Smith-Schuster, you know who my comparison was to him, Ryan? It was Odell Beckham. I think that he has a little Beckham to his game. He also has the number one complex too. It's like, you know, he comes with the attitude that comes with it. And I feel like he grew a lot. I feel like he grew a lot from 2015 to 2016. Like, the tape may not have been better because of the quarterback change, but at the same time, watching him grow as a player, I felt like he ran routes with more of a purpose. I feel like he didn't give away whether it was a run or a pass with the way he was lining up at the line of scrimmage. I believe there's massive upside there. And I know he's a polarizing, you know, player. Bobby, where are you at on Juju Smith-Schuster?
I have him number 9 on my board. So, I can't blame you guys for the pick. I see him as 24 years old, and I think I'm not so sure that he has all this upside, but, you know, you've got to like him at this point in the draft.
Yeah. No, I mean, I do too. That's what I'm saying. I think the upside is there. For me, this is the point in the draft where it gets a little dicey. You know, there's a lot of wide receivers kind of clumped together for me, but I'm going to play a little ADP game where I don't have to reach for the player that I have next on my cheat sheet. There's two guys, but I'm at this pick, I'm taking Chris Godwin.
If there's two guys, just don't pick my guy. Just leave my guy on board, because I think there's a big drop off and you can have the other guy.
I'm taking Chris Godwin here. And the reason I'm doing that, I feel like I have the upside in my picks earlier between Joe Mixon and Mike Williams. This is more of like a safety pick where Chris Godwin, I feel like he's an NFL ready wide receiver. He runs a big route tree. He's able to run most NFL routes that they'd want him to. I feel like he's a guy that his hands aren't always as sure as I would like them to be, but it's almost like he drops passes that most people wouldn't get their hands on to begin with. So Chris Godwin reminds me a lot. My comparison to him is Pierre Garçon. And for that reason, I think he goes to join Sean McVay in St. Louis. I think that the Rams take him early in the second round, and Godwin turns into their kind of possession style wide receiver there that could be a little bit better around the goal line than someone like Pierre Garçon.
He would immediately become the best skill player on their offense. Well, I mean, I guess they got Todd Gurley, but Chris Godwin.
Trent Richardson 2.0? What?
I know you were low on him. You're right
I'm
about
kidding.
That.
I'm kidding.
Godwin was not my guy. He's the guy I had after the player I'm going to take, Samaje Perine, from running back from Oklahoma. I mean, he might be the strongest human on the planet, right? And not only did he rep as many as most offensive lines on the bench press, but just watch his tape. It's a beautiful thing. Seeing him run people over 1 second, then being fleet-footed the next. Yeah, he's not fast, but I expect him to be a reliable every down back for some team for a few years. And at the very least, you know he'll gobble up every goal line touch, right?
I got into his tape today, and I will say that it's very impressive that he's winding up, you know, as a first round pick in dynasty drafts, as a potential day two pick in NFL draft, despite being a backup running back. You know, it's difficult to get on the field when Joe Mixon's there too. But I think it's very impressive what he's done. What's your take on him, Ryan?
Yeah, he's a guy I'm a little worried about. He's obviously a hard runner, huge, strong guy. I just don't know. Even with that power, if he can be an every down back, he's not going to be very involved in the passing game. Most dynasty leagues now are PPR, so that would push him a little bit further down my board at this point.
Yeah, I see where you're going with that one. He's definitely. I think that he has the ability with his hands. I don't think that he was used like that because Mixon's so good in the receiving game. So I don't know if he can't do it, but I do think he's better suited for a 1-2 down role. Maybe someplace like New England.
I can't wait to hear you're going to pick here, Ryan, because it's just all these guys that are remaining are just kind of lumped together for me. I don't know who I'm going to pick with my next pick. Yeah. Does anyone stand out to you?
I absolutely agree. I think if you're looking at a late first round pick, which is kind of where we are now, this is the 11th pick overall. there's not much difference between that and a mid-second. So that's, if I'm in an actual dynasty league, that's where I'm looking to move down, unless one of these guys is really standing out to me. Move down, maybe grab a couple of mid-second rounders or whatever you can get, maybe even a future first rounder. But in this exercise, we've got to make the picks. That's what I'm going to do. I like Curtis Samuel, the
there you go.
Yeah, the wide receiver, running back, whatever you want to call him. He can do a little bit of everything from Ohio State, did everything for them. It looks like he's being projected as a wide receiver in the NFL, but of course we won't really know that until we find out who drafts him, how they're going to use him. But late in the first, I like his versatility, his flexibility to catch the ball, take carries out of the backfield. I'm going with Samuel at 11.
He seems like someone who's definitely going to be able to get on the field one way or another. How do you like him, Tags?
I do like him. When I watch him, it's hard not to be reminded of someone like Percy Harvin, you know, where he's that hybrid. My issue is that he cannot be the focal point of an offense. Like, that's where I'm at on him, where I feel like he needs to be the secondary guy. Like, you know, Percy Harvin had Adrian Peterson. Where does Samuel go? I think he needs to find a coordinator that's willing to use him in an odd way. Maybe somebody like a Sean Payton that's willing to move him around the formation, get creative, get him the ball in open space. And I think that's a very, very high upside pick. I also think it's a risky one. But this is the area where the draft of where there's a lot of opinions, and this is where your opinion comes into play. But Samuel, his ADP is somewhat close to where we are. So yeah, I definitely have no issue with the pick. It's just that can really pay off if he lands in a good spot. Me at this pick, as I mentioned before, I'm in a spot where some of my rankings don't line up with ADP, so I can kind of go in so many different directions. So instead of reaching for a player that I could probably get my next pick or two, I'm going to grab another running back, and I'm going to do Alvin Kamara from Tennessee. Watched a lot of his tape actually today, and the player that he reminds me of most is Jamal Charles. Now, some people have thrown out Lamar Miller just because he's got the limited history where he hasn't ever had 20 carries in a game. As a matter of fact, I think there's been just 5 games where he's had more than 12 carries. So I don't know why they didn't trust him there. I don't know if it had to do, I know he was dealing with some knee injuries here and there, but Jamal Charles was the same style of player when he came into the NFL. If you guys remembered, he was playing behind Thomas Jones. The Chiefs didn't want to give him, you know, that workhorse role, but when he did, it paid huge dividends. They can both get going on a dime. Like, they don't take time to get their engine revved up. And that's why I think is good. He's not necessarily the fastest guy, but he is very, very quick and elusive. So for me, I think that Alvin Kamara could wind up playing as in like a third down role to start, but I think he could emerge a la Jamal Charles.
Kamara was my guy. I'm disappointed you took him, but it was a nice pick. I like him a lot. I agree. He's got some potential, and I'm going to take a potential guy too. I know I'm going to get some heat for this one. But David Njoku, tight end for Miami. I know OJ Howard sitting on the board. OJ Howard's without question the top NFL ready tight end in this draft class, but I'm looking for potential here. And I'm convinced that Njoku can become one of those few elite names at the position. I mean, I watched the tape and it doesn't look great right now. He's not polished, but from everything I read, people think that he has a ton of potential. He's just oozing with it. So I'm taking the receiving upside with David Njoku, tight end from Miami.
Ryan, what's your take on that? I haven't gotten too much into tight ends, so I'm really curious to hear your take on Njoku.
Yeah, I like him. I agree. Just massive upside with him. At this point, he's actually my third ranked tight end. And because of that depth, not only of the tight end class overall, but even the depth of the top tier with Njoku and a couple other guys, Howard included, I would probably try to wait on that if I could. So if I've got an early second rounder and a mid second rounder, I'm probably just going to let somebody else make the decision for me, wait until that mid second and grab one of the tight ends because I do rank them so closely. Right now, though, I think I have the 2.02 pick, the next pick. And I'm going, I guess against what I just said, but, Bobby's forcing my hand with a tight end run. I'm going to go with my number one tight end, which is actually not OJ Howard. It's Evan Engram. Ooh. He's more of the pass catching tight end. He's basically a wide receiver.
There you go.
I almost said a wide receiver in a tight end's body, but he's not even that. He's a wide receiver with a tight end designation. And, he blew up the combine as well. On a loaded Ole Miss wide receiver depth chart, he was their leading receiver. Evan Engram, early second round. I feel pretty good about that one.
He's kind of like Colston from the Saints back in the day, isn't he? I think he could transition and become a full-time wide receiver.
You know, for the past year, following college football fairly closely, in the Devy community developmental dynasty where you get to roster these college players before they even get to the NFL, there's kind of been that rumor, that report, that he would make the switch to the wide receiver position. So, again, based on what we've seen at the combine, it looks like that's probably not going to happen. He did work out, of course, with the tight ends. So I guess that's what we can expect, but a move would not surprise me at all.
How did you guys let this happen? First off, I'm just gonna say that I just stomped on you guys in this mock draft. And the reason I say that, I got the number one running back, arguably between Leonard Fournette and Joe Mixon. I got arguably the number one wide receiver with Mike Williams, and now I'm getting the number one tight end. Now, granted, I haven't gotten too much in the tape, so it's potentially that Njoku or Ingram could jump out in front of Howard for me. Right now, he's number one on my tight end board, so being the number three pick in this process, I'm more than happy to take Howard. It's almost like, you know, when you get to the end of a run at a position, that's, you want to get to the end of a tier. And, you know, Ryan, you were mentioning that when you have a pick, you know, let's say you have an early second and mid second, let someone else decide for you because you're okay getting any of them and you don't have to waste the capital up top. You could probably grab a receiver or running back. So for me, grabbing Howard as the third pick in the second round, I'm ecstatic.
There's four guys I really like here. I like Zay Jones, Wayne Gallman, running back from Clemson, who I know he's slow, but you know, there's something to be said about vision, angles, hitting the hole at full speed, running through tackles. I think he'll be a quality running back in the NFL. But for me, the guy is Cooper Kupp, wide receiver out of Eastern Washington. And I know he was unimpressive at the combine, but keep in mind, he was also a former zero-star recruit who just happened to end up as college football's all-time receiving leader. He looked great in the Senior Bowl. I imagine he's going to hold his own at the NFL, and it's kind of hard for me to take him over D.D. Westbrook because he's got all that upside, but I'm a believer in Kupp being somewhere along the lines of a Jamison Crowder, and I think that's a good value at this point.
Yeah, so I'm interested to hear Ryan's point of view because Kupp is one of the people that it's highly split in the community. Like you have, you know, guys in our industry that are highly respected, like Matt Harmon, who does Reception Perception, goes through these guys, doesn't like Kupp. And then you have former NFL players like Steve Smith on NFL Network talking, saying that, you know, that Kupp is his favorite wide receiver in this class. So is there, he said he would take him as the number one wide receiver in this draft. So, I mean, I'm not going there with Kupp. I've watched Kupp's tape. I'm okay with him. I don't think he's a phenomenal athlete. I don't know if he's going to transcend to the NFL. I just feel like the competition he played allowed him to do a lot of the things that he did. I don't think he's a horrible pick, but at the same time, I don't know if he's going to, again, if this is all going to translate to an NFL level. So, Ryan, where are you at on this great divide of Cooper Kupp?
Yeah, I have concerns about the level of competition as well. I don't want to take too much away from Kupp because he obviously put up big-time numbers against the competition he was facing. The other concern for dynasty owners has to be his age. He's almost he's closing in on 24 years old. He's older than Allen Robinson. He's older than Brandon Cooks. A lot of these well-established players who have been in the league for 2, 3, 4 years now. That's a concern. What that tells me is that he has to make an impact in the NFL and in dynasty leagues almost immediately. He doesn't have that leeway that a guy like Juju Smith, who's 20 years old, might have. So because of that, well, not just because of that, but that's one reason that would probably push me away from him. There's other guys in this range that I like better. Zay Jones, you mentioned, is one. Carlos Henderson is another. I think the guy I'm going to take with my last pick is a local boy for me here, Kentucky kid, Taylor.
Oh, God, that was my last pick. I was waiting on that one. Oh, man.
You know, Mike, I meant to say this earlier when you mentioned it, that you're playing that ADP game, and that kind of gets dangerous when the tiers are so big. We mentioned this earlier. From 1-8 to the middle of the second, just throw it in a pot, pick somebody out. If you've got a favorite guy, you can't be afraid to grab him, to reach for him, because it's tough to rely on ADP when there's so little separation between the players in these tiers.
You said local boy, and right before we got on to record the podcast, you know, we were talking about, you know, me moving back to Chicago and you being from there. And I was like, and that's when you said local boy, I'm like, you got to be kidding me. I waited too long. I debated taking him over OJ Howard, but I was like, one of these guys is just going to screw me. So I'm going to take Howard. It didn't happen, but man, that's a really good pick. And Bobby, I don't know if you had a chance to watch much Taywan Taylor, but he's a very, very impressive young man.
I don't know anything about him. You guys are selling me, though. I'm a believer now.
Oh, he is. No, he's going to – for me, he reminds me a lot of Kendall Wright coming out of college. Now, obviously, Kendall Wright didn't work out in the NFL. Injuries kind of added up and things like that. But people forget how talented Kendall Wright actually was as a player. You can compare him to, like, a Stephon Diggs because I think he's going to transition to the slot in the NFL. Taywan Taylor, he's quicker than he is fast. I don't really care about his 40 time because when you watch his tape, he creates separation, and that's what matters to me.
I know who you're going to pick here, Tags.
I don't know. I don't even know who I'm going to pick here. I was going back and forth with it, and I feel like I got enough running back, so I'm going to go with another wide receiver. And this is, again, this is in that same tier with the guys like Taywan Taylor, the guys like Godwin, Carlos Henderson. Carlos Henderson, I feel like he's a guy, after going through him, and I was trying to find a comparison because he's a guy that plays bigger than his size because he's only 5'11", 190 some pounds. But he plays bigger than that. He wins contested catches. He runs over people on the field, which is something I like to see. So for me, I ended up comparing him to Golden Tate. Golden Tate, one of the best guys in the NFL after the catch. He didn't catch on right away. I just feel like he does everything well. And I don't love the pick, but at the same time, I feel like it's the best available as I have right now because as we talked about, you know, this is the ADP game. And Ryan, you said it. I waited too long on my guy. I would have much rather had Taywan Taylor here. But I'm not totally upset with Carlos Henderson. I don't know if that's who you thought I was going to take, Bobby.
He's a good one, but I thought you were going to take Chad Hansen.
I like Hansen. He's in that same tier, but he's right after Carlos Henderson for me. Hansen has he's got such tremendous body control. I'm just worried about his size in the NFL level, playing the perimeter, if he can beat press coverage. But his awareness and body control is fantastic. And I have him a much higher than most people do.
Well, Ryan, we really appreciate you coming on the show today. That wraps up our 18-player mock draft. And if you want to follow up, you can read the show notes to see who our 18 picks were and go back and look at them. Also, go to DynastyLeagueFootball.com if you want to check out the full ADP Dynasty rankings. Ryan, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me, guys. It was a blast.
It was our pleasure. And Tags, this was a lot of fun, man. I'm looking forward to doing more mock drafts with you. I'm looking at your team, and I do think that you beat me, even though I had the first overall pick. I was talking myself out of some of my picks afterwards, but you know, that wide receiver, you got Mike Williams so late, man. That was a steal.
No, I definitely like it. And by the way, guys, if you guys really like this and you dig basically what we just did here, the mock draft, I'm going to be hosting one with a bunch of industry titans, Evan Silva, Sigmund Bloom, Matt Harmon. We're all getting together for a 3 or 4 round rookie mock draft on Thursday. I should have an article up on Monday at the latest.
For those of you listening at home, this was our last show of the week. We're going to come out with another show next week. So make sure to subscribe on iTunes so you don't miss any of these in the future if you haven't already. Thanks for listening and enjoy your football. I just wanted you to watch me dissolve slowly in a proof of your love. But I don't even know how the chemistry works when your rules are kicking in the dirt, kicking in the sand and stirring up trouble. If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Fire the grill and fire up the party. Get the Weber Searwood Pellet Grill. Smoke, roast, and sear on the same grill. Go from low and slow on smoke boost mode at 180 degrees all the way to high heat sear at 600 degrees. It's got a full grate sear zone so you can put more food on the flame. Food will look as good as it tastes. This grill is hot in 15 minutes and cleanup is easy. You can also add a heavy-duty rotisserie or rust-resistant griddle insert to up your game. Get fired up for your new Weber Searwood Pellet Grill.